Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Father, we need a fresh wind. We ask you today that you would pour your presence out. God, we know that without you, none of this matters. None of this makes any sense. God, we need you. And we just ask you right now in the mighty name of Jesus to allow us to put aside anything that may be burdening our hearts, anything that maybe we carried into this room today, and give us a fresh anointing of your presence. God, allow us to hear from you, to experience you today, God. Lord, may we not make anything in this room bigger than who you are. And so, God, speak to us today. Pour your spirit out. In Jesus' name we ask, amen and amen. Let's thank our worship team for leading us so well today. Thank you, guys. Y'all can be seated. Well, amen. Thank you guys so much for being here with us today. I'm so grateful that you are here. My name's Bobby, and if I haven't got to meet you yet, we would love that opportunity today after the service. One thing that I want you to know is your presence matters. It's a really big deal that you are here in this room, and especially if this is one of your first times, there's a little card on the chair in front of you. You can tap that, and we just want a little bit of information from you. Nothing crazy, just your name and phone number, and we just want to be able to connect with you and tell you how much we appreciate. We got a special gift for you as well. Or on your way out, you can stop by the tent, and we'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a few minutes. Today, I'm going to jump right in because we're kicking off a new series, and so over the next few weeks, we're going to have a series called First Things First. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to look at what the Bible says about our finances, about our money. And so today I want to start with a very practical message. This is going to be super simple, maybe a reminder for many of you, but just to give us a biblical and godly perspective on money. Now, here's the deal, all right? We can act like it doesn't, but money matters to every single one of us in here, all right? You're going to spend money at some point this week, right? You're going to maybe save some money this week. You're going to go to work to make some more money this week, right? Money is a big deal in all of our lives. We spend it differently. We save it differently. We work for it differently. All of us probably would say, I would take some more of it, right? We all, it's a really big deal. It's a part of our life that we cannot ignore and just hope that everything gets better, right? It's a part of our lives. And so if it's such a big deal, then we can't really avoid it, right? We can't avoid it. And so what my goal is here today and over the next few weeks is very, very simple. It's very, very simple. I want us to have a biblical view of what does God say about money? What does God's word say about finances? And so really, the Bible talks about this a lot, and we're going to jump into this here in just a moment, but when you talk about finances, what really money does, it reveals where our heart is. It reveals what's going on inside of us. I read a couple of stats this week I want to share with you. Just last month, okay, the National Endowment for Financial Education released a new poll. Listen to this. 88% of Americans are feeling some form of financial stress right now. 88%. 77% say they experience some sort of financial setback in 2025. Another survey says, listen to this one, 77% of us are anxious about our finances. And we know, listen to this, we know that talking about money openly would help, but most of us still avoid the conversation. We know that there's things that could help us. We know that getting it out there would probably be better for us to get help or to get wisdom, or but we don't talk about it. And so why is it that way? So today what I want to do again is just to help you view money from a godly perspective. I want us to be able to view money not as a master, but as a tool that God gave us, a tool to bless God, a tool to bless others, a tool that gives us joy instead of fear. And so God's word has a lot to say about money. I don't know if you know this, but there are over 2,300 passages in the Bible that talk about money. In Jesus's parables, while Jesus was on earth, he would tell parables, right? One third of all the stories that Jesus told have to do about money, have to do about possessions. He talks about money. Listen to this. He talks about money more than heaven and hell combined. And so if Jesus talks about it a lot, we need to probably understand what he's saying. We need to probably get on his same page, right? Because money reveals where our priorities is. Money reveals our heart. And honestly, when we start talking about finances, it's way more than just about money. This is a part of our discipleship as a follower of Christ. If I am someone who is striving to be like Jesus, living the life that he's called me to live, then I need to understand part of my discipleship has to do with my finances. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to be super practical today. I'm going to give you three truths. The Bible says a lot about money. I want you to write these down. But I'm going to give you three truths that I think are the foundation of getting a biblical perspective on money. Okay? So number one, we're going to go through these quick. God owns everything. God owns everything. Look at Psalm chapter 24, verse 1. The earth and everything in it, the world and all its inhabitants belong to the Lord. It is very clear from a biblical point of view, we don't own anything. Everything that is here was here before you got here. Everything that's going to be in the world is still going to be in the world after you leave the world. It's all God's. God was God before us, right? The world will exist after us. Notice, when you came into the world, what did you bring to the world? Nothing. When you leave the world, what do you get to take with you when you leave the world? Nothing. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul told the church this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Look at this. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out. So the mindset is everything that I have, my income, my job, my cars, my 401k, it's all on loan from God. It's all his and he's letting you have it for a period of time. So I think this is the first big truth that the Bible teaches. Again, simple, foundational. God owns everything. The second truth, if God owns everything, well, what does that make me? Number two, that makes me a steward and a manager. I am a steward and a manager of what God has given. Matthew chapter 25. This is the parable, one of the parables that Jesus taught. He's talking about the parable of the talents. Maybe some of you have heard this before. Jesus tells this story. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Listen to this. "You were faithful over a few things, so I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Share in your master's joy." So in this parable of talents, the master didn't give the servants their money. What did he do? He gave the servants his money. He allowed them to use his. So he was giving them money to spend. He was giving them money to invest. He was giving them money to build things, right? And here's what we have to do. We have to move from ownership mindset to manager mindset. It's not mine, it's what God has given me. We must consider my finances and my job and my influence and my resources. All of it is on loan from God. It's his. And if I want to put first things first in my life, then we should use money in a way, listen to this, that best makes our boss really proud. So that's exactly what the parable of the talents is teaching. The master gave his money to the servants, and some of them used the money to make the master very proud, very happy. And that's our mindset that we go into if I'm understanding that I'm serving the interests of the owner. It's not about my happiness. And that's a real shift that some of us have to make is, you know what, I need to use this in a way that honors the master. So the second one, we move from ownership to stewards. And then the third one I want you to see, and this one's very, very, very important. All the time that we see God's people in his body, God's people are radically generous. They're radically generous. The very first Christians, Acts chapter 2, the very first Christians that we see in the Bible, look at what they said. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held things in common. Now here it is, look at this. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as they had need. Generosity wasn't this little side thing to living my life. The very first Christians that we read about were extravagantly generous. They gave and gave and gave. As a matter of fact, these early church Christians, they were so well known for their giving. Later on, when Paul's writing another letter, he says, it's really unnecessary for me to even talk to you guys about this because you guys are such generous givers. Paul said that. He's like, this is kind of redundant and because you guys are so generous. They were known for their generosity. Christians, would you say the world knows the church for their generosity today? I don't want to answer that. I want you to feel a little bit of tension there. Paul felt like he was almost wasting words. I don't really need to talk to you guys about this because you guys are so generous. Think about what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. And if we're going to put God first, generosity must show up in our budget. And so the Bible has a ton to say about money. These are just three foundational truths that I want you to get today. These are three of the biggest rocks. If you can understand those three things, I think that gives you a great pathway to viewing money from a biblical perspective. And it not only honors God, but I totally believe this, when we treat money the way that God has called us to treat, it makes our lives so much more healthy. It brings the stress level down. It brings the fear level down when we handle things in the way that God told us. Now, probably for most of you in here, I don't know everybody's background in here. Most of you in here, these probably weren't new. These probably are things that you've heard before. Maybe you haven't practiced them, but you probably have a good understanding of what God says. And so sometimes we understand what God says. And so what is the... let's call them roadblocks. What are some of the roadblocks to get people to live out what God says, right? Because some of you would say, yeah, God owns it all. I get that. And it's on loan to me and he gives it to me. And I want to be generous, but, and we have roadblocks that keep us from being obedient to what God tells us to do. And so I have been so blessed. I've been in full-time church work since 2003. 23 years. I feel so old just saying that. I've probably heard every excuse that mankind has ever created when it comes to talking about money and giving and church. I've heard so many of these. I've known people, this is going to blow your mind. I've known people who won't go to their church when the pastor says he's preaching a series on finances. True story. And so I want you to understand something today. I want to go over seven roadblocks. And maybe one of these might hit you. One of these might show up in your life. And I'm just asking God, I love that we sang that song, Pour Your Spirit Out. That's been my prayer all week long, that God would pour his spirit out and show you an area in your life that he's calling you to a higher level of discipleship. Again, this isn't about money, so to speak. It's about being a fully devoted disciple of Jesus. And what does that look like? So I want to go through seven excuses, seven roadblocks that I've seen. I want to try to address these things, and maybe it's something that you struggle with, and that's okay. I'm not trying to put shame on you. I'm not trying to condemn you for having one of these. It's normal stuff. It's human things that go through our minds. But what I want you to do is I want you to get a better understanding from a biblical stance, not just a money stance, all right? So let's go to number one. We're going to go through these quickly. Number one. The church talks too much about money. The church is always talking about money. Well, the church talks about a lot of things. okay? And here's what I believe. Here's my philosophy as your pastor, all right? I believe that if Jesus talks about it, we should talk about it. I believe that if it's in God's word and it's something that he commands, even the hard stuff, that we should talk about it. He talked about money and giving and possessions and stewardship and generosity a lot, more than heaven and hell, more than having faith. Jesus talks about these things. And so just for the record, this isn't like a brag, I promise you. I started thinking and I went back in my notes to see when's the last time I preached a series on giving, on stewardship, on money, all right? 2024 is the last time that I preached a series on giving. And so I'm not trying to brag. What I'm trying to say is I don't think that's right. I shouldn't have waited 2 years. Because the Bible talks about this so much that it opened my eyes and say, wait a minute, Bobby, if God's talking about it, you need to talk about it. And we have to understand. Now listen, all right? Let's get real this morning, okay? You have probably seen churches or pastors do this in the wrong way. Maybe you've experienced that. Maybe you've seen that. Maybe you've left the church because of that. Maybe you don't go to church because of that. So there is still a level of discernment on your part, right? You need to discern, is the church that I'm sitting in today, City Hope Church, or any church that you might go to, is this church using money in a manner that honors God? Is this church using my giving in a way that is building God's kingdom, that is in a way that is making heaven more crowded? And you have to use your discernment on that. And so the church talks too much about money. Well, I hope your church and I hope that our church will do a better job of talking about it just as much as God talks about it. The second pushback that I hear is, well, the church doesn't need my money. Church is doing just fine. The church doesn't need my money. Let me say it like this. You're right. God's not desperate for your cash, okay? God's not desperate for what you have. But I want you to don't miss this. This is the heartbeat. You're going to hear this every Sunday for the next 4 weeks. Jesus didn't die to get 10% of your money. He died to get 100% of your heart. He did not die so that he can get 10% of your cash, so that you work real hard and you can write a check. He died because he wants 100% of your heart. He is after your heart. And that's what this is all about. And the Bible shows us that your heart and your finances are very closely connected. Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's what Jesus said. Where your treasure is, the things that you value, the things that you prioritize in your life, that's where your heart is going to be. Now, let me take a little poll in here, all right? Everybody like a good poll? All right, I need everybody to participate. I need 100% participation, okay? If you have ever sat in a church, whether it's City Hope Church or another church, if you've sat in a church and that church or pastor, people, if they blessed you, if they encouraged you, if they taught you, if they shepherded you well, if they cared for you, if they fed you, if they put their arm around you when time was tough, if you have ever sat in a church and had one of those things happen to you, would you just raise your hand right now? Let's take a little poll, all right? Holy moly. Probably 99, maybe 100% of people in the room. So I want you to realize something. I want you to realize something. Somebody gave a tithe or an offering for you to be ministered to. Now, we all just raised our hand, said the church has blessed me. The church has helped me. The church has encouraged me. There's somebody that said a kind word. Somebody gave money to provide a church for you to be ministered to. Somebody gave money, let's get a little personal. Somebody gave money to buy the chair that you're sitting in today. Somebody gave money so that we could look at words on a TV screen. Somebody gave money so that I could preach in a microphone so that you could have some good coffee on your way in. Somebody bought that trough that we just baptized kids in. Somebody bought that and gave it to our church. Somebody bought all the kids' toys and the curriculum. Somebody gave money to bless you and your family so that kids could come. So technically, the statement here is right. The church doesn't need your money, but guess who does? The next person who may come to our church. The church person or the unchurched person who needs a church to rally around them and bless them. And so the ministry of church is not just, oh, the doesn't need my money. It means that I get to be a blessing to the next person. Church doesn't need my money. Number three, this might hit some of us hard today. Well, I just can't afford to give. I can't afford to give. Well, let's talk about that. The United States of America is the wealthiest country on the planet. Now, I totally understand, this is the way I grew up. I totally understand not being able to afford certain things. I totally get that, all right? I totally understand, like the thing that popped into my mind when I was preaching about this week, I don't even know if they do this anymore. Do any of y'all remember layaway? Any of y'all remember layaway? Do they still do that? Is that still a thing? Huh? I'll never forget going to a store and picking toys out for Christmas and putting them on layaway, not even getting to bring them home because that's how we grew up. You get one toy for Christmas, but we're going to put it on layaway. You don't get it yet. You just get to see it. It's kind of mean. But anyways, let me say two things, okay? So I totally understand. God established a system of giving. It's called tithing, okay? And what that simply means, it's called percentage giving. Okay? And God asks his people to give their first 10%. We're gonna dig into that here in just a second. So that is always the same no matter how much you make. You make $4, 10%. You make 400, 10%. You make 4 million, 10%. The 10% is always 10%. And so tithing and giving is more about priorities than it is about paychecks. So hear me today, church, okay? It's about putting God first in my mindset. He's the owner. I'm the steward manager. He's called me to be generous. He's called Christians to be generous in this world. And what happens is I need to understand it's not about an amount. It's about my heart. And almost every time that I've heard someone say they can't afford to tithe, I want to tithe, I want to give. And so here's my pushback when I'm having this conversation. Well, do you have a plan to tithe and give? I want to give, I just don't make enough money. Do you have a plan? Because if you want to do it, you'll plan to do it. If it's something you really want to do in your life, then you'll plan it. That's what a budget is for. And I truly believe this. I truly believe this. We can afford the things we want to do. Might take some of us a little longer. Might mean I have to save for 4 years. But we can afford the things we want to do. So if giving is something you want to do, maybe your problem isn't income, it's planning. And I would even go a step further and say this. You can't afford not to give. That's how much God wants our lives. Number four, this is unfortunately one of the most popular. Well, the church or the pastor just wants my money. Anybody ever heard somebody say that? The church and the pastor just wants my money. Well, let me say it like this. The answer is no and yes. The no part. I do not personally want your money. All right? I don't get commission on how much you get. I'm not going to go back when the offering's passed and take a cut for my family, okay? So I personally do not want your money. But, yes, I do want you to give. I do want you to give because I want you to experience what it means to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. I want you to experience the joy of giving, the blessing of giving. I think God called all of his children to be givers. And through giving and serving, through giving and serving, we can all be a part of building the church that God's called us to build. You want to reach more people? You want to see more people come to know Jesus? Then yes, I want you to give so that you will enjoy the blessing, so that you will be a part of God's people building his church. Number five, tithing isn't in the New Testament. Tithing is this Old Testament rule, it's this Old Testament law, and we don't have to follow that anymore. This is a common pushback that we hear, but I really think it's kind of a false sentiment because for a couple reasons. One, tithing is mentioned in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he's telling them, hey, you guys are being faithful tithers, but you're being jerks, right? And he goes on to tell them, I want you to be both a faithful tither and a kind person. And so he's giving them the understanding, that was my paraphrase, by the way, that he basically is telling them, hey, you need to stick to this. You don't need to just be a tither. That doesn't mean you get to be a jerk. You need to be a tither and be a kind person. Then in Hebrews chapter 7, this is a little bit more of a complicated text, and I don't have time to fully break it down, but the writers of Hebrew are showing us that In the Old Testament, under the law, people would bring their tithe and it would go to the human high priest, okay? It would go to them and he would see it, he would bless it, and he would receive it. And then Hebrews chapter 7 says that after Jesus came, Jesus became our high priest. Jesus became the one that we bring our tithe to, that we bring our offering to. Now he is the one that when we tithe and when we give, he receives it. He gives us the blessing, and so we're giving it to him. And so the bigger picture of giving in the New Testament is that we, God's people, should love to give. We should be the ones that love to give. Tithing should never be a burden in our life. It is a blessing to give and to tithe over and above. And you all have probably heard the verse, God loves a cheerful giver. And so for people who say, well, you know, the New Testament doesn't say anything about tithing. Well, if we want to go to that, then what we really have to realize is that the New Testament givers that we read about are a lot more extravagant than 10%. Remember what it said? They sold all their possessions. And so we have to understand what they actually gave was almost everything. And so it is not just an Old Testament truth. It is a New Testament promise. Number six. I give to charities instead of churches. I give to charities instead of churches. Let me say this. I love our partners. I love the nonprofits that we team up with, the missionaries, and I love them. We support them generously as a church. We decided on day one, every dollar that comes in, we're giving 10% away. And we do. We have some amazing partners. Some of them are church plants. Some of them are missionaries in Haiti and in Africa, in Honduras. Like, I think these are very, very, very important ministries to give to. But I want you to understand something. God ordained the local church as the primary vehicle to reach the world with the gospel. That is the local church's job. The local church's job is to disciple families, is to share the gospel, is to lead people to Jesus for eternity. Give to charities, absolutely. But God's word teaches us to put his house first. He asks us, hey, this is my bride. I want you to treat my bride in a way that you would want somebody to treat your bride. And my house comes first. Anything we give outside of the church, here's a question that we just use in our house. If somebody asks us for money, if we get a letter in the mail, here's the question that we always ask. Does it have kingdom value? Because there's a lot of things in this world that want your money, right? There's a lot of good things in this world. And can I tell you this? This is, oh man, this kind of bothers me. I'm not gonna lie. I'm a big college sports fan. Guys, we're in this era of NIL, right? Ladies, ask your husband what I'm talking about, okay? Now, some of you ladies probably know. That was mean. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. Here's what we're seeing. We're seeing people. I know people that have come up to me and have donated to some school's NIL so that they can get some 17-year-old to come to their school and play a sport for a year so they can watch 8 games on the TV screen. What are we doing? What are we doing? Does that have kingdom value? I'm all for. Hey, I love it. But does it have kingdom value? Like, why not give to some teenager going on a mission trip to go share the gospel? When we go to Africa here in a few weeks, and we're gonna talk to you about this. One of the things that we go into these remote villages, they don't have water, guys. And so one of the things we're going to do is we're going to raise enough money to build a well in one of these villages so that the women don't have to walk miles and miles and miles just to get clean water. Like, let's do things that have kingdom value. Let's do things that are going to make a difference in our world. And God says his church is the primary vehicle to reach the world, to disciple families, and to lead people to Jesus. And finally, the last one for today. I hope this has been helpful. I know it's super simple, super practical, but I just felt like we had to start this series with this. Number 7, I'll give when I have more. I'll give when I have more. In my experience, 23 years in ministry, now 23 years in serving a church, this is a myth. This is a myth. And here's what I want to challenge you to do today. Here's one of my challenges for you. Do now what you want to do later. Do now what you want to do later. Remember, God's plan is percentage giving, not amount giving. Okay? In other words, the amount is irrelevant. The amount is irrelevant. My two oldest girls, they're not in here, so I can brag on them a little bit. They both have jobs. And can I tell you, anytime they spend money, it pops up on my phone, right? And I'll just be honest with you, 80% of the time, I'm like, that is so dumb. What are they doing? Like, really? Dunkin' again? Like, Starbucks again? But just the other day, our middle daughter, Sissy, I saw one that came through. She gave $17 to City Hope Church. $17. Now, to her, that's 10%. I mean, that's like 2 weeks worth of work. It's not about an amount. It's about your heart. And that's the principle that's true in every single area of our lives. And so do now what you want to do later. God's word teaches us when we are faithful with a little, what does he do? He blesses us with more. Now, I'm not standing here telling you if you give to the church, God's going to bless you and you're going to get a check next week. I'm not telling you that, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But if you don't give when you have a little, you're probably not going to give when you have much. I mean, think about it. If you start a new job tomorrow and you're not a good employee, you're not going to become a good employee when you become the boss. It's a principle in every area of our lives. Do now what you want to do later. Be faithful now with what God's given you. So, 7 roadblocks. Maybe I hope that the Lord uses this. I hope that you walk out of here with a biblical understanding, a better view of how God views money. Okay? But if I could be a little bit more blunt, putting God first, first things first, it's really not that complicated. It's a decision that you make. It is a decision. It starts with recognizing it's all his in the first place. I'm just a manager of it, and he calls me to be generous. It's all his in the first place. I'm just a manager of it. I need to manage it faithfully, and I need to give generously. And so when we put God first with our money, I believe this with all of my heart, that we realize he's more than enough. He meets my every need. He brings peace where there used to be stress. He turns fear into joy. And if we will view money and handle money and see our finances in the biblical way that God calls us to, I believe it's a great path to healthiness. I believe it is a great path to being a fully devoted follower Jesus. Let me give you one challenge, and then I'm going to end with one question. Here's the challenge for this week. Very, very practical. For some of you, you need to go home and you need to do this today. Reorder your finances so giving comes first, not last. I want you to reorder, I want to challenge you, reorder your finances so that giving comes first and not last. And I've said this since we started the church, and honestly, just a few weeks ago, we did this with somebody. If City Hope is not the church for you, we will help you find that place. And I promise you, my heart doesn't change. Give to that church. Be a fully devoted follower of Jesus no matter where you sit in a pew or in a chair. That's my heart, is that you and I would be a believer that lives exactly how God calls us to live. Not when it's convenient, not when it's extra, when there's extra at the end of the month, first. Because you don't drift into generosity, you decide to do it. You decide to do it. This is what we're doing. So the challenge, reorder your finances so giving happens first, not last. And then here's the question that I want to challenge you with, that I want you to wrestle with this week. Is God first, or is he just important? Is God truly first, or is he just important? Because those are not the same thing. What did God do for you? He gave you his firstborn son. He gave his first and his best. The most holy individual that's ever walked the face of the earth. God's only son. God gave you his first and his best. And that's what he wants from you and I. That's what he wants from us. First things first. Would you pray with me? Father, I just ask you right now that you would convict our hearts. Lord, I pray that don't allow the enemy to come in and use some of these roadblocks, use some of these speed bumps along the way. God, I know that there's temptation for all of us to make excuses or to counter back. Lord, I just pray that we would be a people that our arms are wide open, that our hands are wide open. We say, God, it's yours. And you've given it to me. And Lord, just show me how to bless people. Show me how to bless your church. Show me what church. Show me where to get involved. Show me, God, help me to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. God, would we recognize in our hearts the calling that you've put on us? It's not that our lives are going to get harder. It's that you're going to bless. It's that you're going to be faithful when we are faithful with a little bit. And so, God, I pray that our hearts would be pure. Our hearts would be understanding, not a heart of we just want more, we want to build something bigger. No. God, we want to just follow your will and help us to walk out of here with that understanding today. Lord, we love you and we give you all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.